Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June 1st, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 7, the third paragraph, but it was not ending in Give Me Over to the Undertaker or the Asylum. We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Juan E. N., who will be reading the 12 steps, Janet E. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Leslie M., Christina M., and Dion R. The share ID for Tuesday, May 31st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 19,011, 19011. This morning's Wednesday, June 1st meeting, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Share ID is 19,017. That's 19017. Our newcomer greeter for today is Lois P., and Robin P. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Juanice N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Juanice.
Good morning. This is Juanice N. in Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater. Here's the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Juanice N. And Janet E., if you'd read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Hi, I'm Janet E., compulsive overeater in Haley, Idaho. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 7, the third paragraph that begins with, but it was not, ending in, give me over to the undertaker or the asylum. We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And Leslie M., good morning. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. But it was not, for the frightful day came when I drank once more. The curve of my declining moral and bodily health fell off like a ski jump. After a time, I returned to the hospital. This was the finish, the curtain, it seemed to me. My weary and despairing wife was informed that it would all end with heart failure during delirium tremens, or I'd develop a wet brain, perhaps within a year. She would soon have to give me over to the undertaker or the asylum. This paragraph is, it just reminds me of how many years I was in the disease, continuing to think that something else that I learned, I've got this now, I figured out the right diet, as it says in the paragraph before, surely this was the answer, self-knowledge. And as I gained knowledge, I became more and more sure that there was something else that I was supposed to be taking care of. I knew this was a spiritual program, but I always spoke about it as that spiritual part of the program, And so when I finally got to this point this was the finish, the curtain, it seemed to me. I hear people say that when people get that desperate and they're crying and and I got to that point where I knew that things were not going to change, that this was the way it was going to happen, that this was, I was finished. I had done everything I could do. And at that point, I had been in OA for 28 years. So I'm grateful that it finally happened for me. I don't wish that anyone else should have to take that long, but I was a tough case. I was very obstinate, very thinking I had to take care of things myself, thinking that I had to do the work. And so when I finally got to that point and knew that, there was nothing else that I could do, but what I had to do was get entirely abstinent. And then I had to work the steps like my hair was on fire so that I could actually have this marvelous being recovered state, you know, one day at a time, certainly. But, you know, that was the only way I could do it. You know, unfortunately, at this point in Bill's life, you know, there isn't a 12-step program. There isn't, you know, 12 steps. There's no AA. There's nothing, you know. But, you know, I'm grateful that when I came to this point of surrender and said, you know, there's nothing else I can do. Here I am, God. Do with me what you will, because I am out of ideas. And so, you know, I think that might be the point that I'm the most grateful for in my life, is that, you know, I could finally say, okay, yep, I'm done. Tell me what to do. And that was the point when I could get a sponsor, follow that direction, follow direction in this book, and take those actions, because those actions are what has changed me and helped me become the person that I am today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie M. Okay, we're on the third paragraph on page 7, Bill's story. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share who hasn't shared in the last 3 days on this paragraph?
Lisa J.R.
Elaine G.
Lisa J.R. Elaine G.
Did you get Wendy B.?
Oh, I didn't. Dion
R.
Wendy B. Dion R.
Lisa J.R.?
Lisa J. Oh, I got you, Lisa. You're the first one. Okay, let's stop there then. So, Lisa J.R., Elaine G., Wendy B., and Dion R., and if you want to say the state you're calling from, that would be great. So go ahead, please, Lisa J.R.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. from outside Baltimore. Thank you all for being on the line this morning. In my lifetime, you know, I come from a family that has a lot of alcoholism in past generations. And, you know, those tentacles of character defects in family or, you know, that sort of defect comes through the generations and has these weird tentacles that attach themselves to future children. And I knew that I had a chance of becoming an alcoholic early on in life, you know, and we all have those, you know, high definition tendencies to do things and live in a manner that is toxic to our health and well-being. And so, you know, for me, knowing that my grandfather died in an asylum of a wet brain when I was very young, you know, kind of I always kept that in the back of my mind. And yet I did everything I could when I saw those things starting to surface in my teenage years, you know, then going on and taking college classes, reading books, you know, nothing. Self-knowledge availed me nothing. So I knew in my compulsive eating, I knew I wasn't an alcoholic, but, you know, the evidence was clear that I was a very low-bottom compulsive binge eater, that I was going to die. I had a couple of close brushes with death, choking during binges. But, you know, here, that got me to my step one full experience that I'm powerless. I can't do this. You know, talk about falling like a ski jump. You know, I was hurling down a mountain, you know, and the collateral damage around me was like an avalanche. You know, everything was uprooted. It was terrible. All my relations were damaged in the process of it. But thank God. Thank God I reached the bottom and just said, God, help me. God help me, I can't do this. And I have to do that every day if I'm not gonna fall back into self-will, because it seems to be a general, you know, generational failing in my life. So I'm glad to be here and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. in Maryland. And Elaine G., it's your turn, followed by Wendy B.
Yeah, hi, everybody. This is Elaine from New York. I take this paragraph very serious. you know, right now I'm having a lot of trouble with my abstinence. And like I said to my sponsor this morning, all the weight I've lost, you know, with this compulsive eating in the middle of the night, I got to change my strategy here. And I told him maybe I need to go into the bathroom in the middle of the night and bring my journal with me and write down what I'm thinking while I'm sitting on that toilet, you know, and not drink so much caffeine. That's keeping me up at night. I mean, there's a lot of different things I have to not do. And then most of all, I got to pray to God. I've been praying to God all day today. And about God, this is like this is addiction. This middle night eating, got to help me with it. And God, when I wake up in the morning, I feel lousy after compulsive eating. That psyched me to be willing to get to my doctor today, to go to Home Goods and get cushions for my new chairs I got on my terrace, to keep me busy, and to stay away from the caffeine. Beside the caffeine I have in the morning. That interrupts my sleep. I mean, like, it's terrible. It's really terrible, this compulsive eating. I mean, like, you're trying to psych, then you keep busy, and to act as if, and thank you.
Thank you, Elaine G. in New York. And Wendy B., go ahead. You're followed by Dion R.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona, and I can really relate to that line, you know, the curve of my declining moral and bodily health fell off like a ski jump. And, you know, I'm actually really grateful for the, you know, the speeding up of my decline, you know, when I was in my disease, because that's what it took for God to get my attention. You know, if things hadn't progressed to the level of causing me discomfort, I would never have admitted I had a problem. You know, if I hadn't got so physically sick that I couldn't get out of bed, you know, and pretend anymore, you know, I would have continued in my denial and, you know, and pretended all was well. And, you know, my moral decline was stealing, you know, eating the baked goods I was making to serve at the restaurant where I worked. You know, I was skimming the profits. You know, and I knew stealing was wrong, you know, but I couldn't stop putting them in my mouth. And, you know, it was going against my own morals. And, you know, I recognized I was out of control, you know, and I'm just very grateful for the principle of you reap what you sow, you know, that God put in motion in this world. You know, he allows us to reap the consequences of our degrading behavior until we come to our senses, you know, and admit our need for help, you know, our need for his intervention. And, you know, he knows exactly what it will take for each person to come to their knees, you know, and I believe he guides, you know, each of us to that place of desperation. And for that, I'm grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. in Arizona. And before I take you, Dion, I just want to remind everyone that we are on page 7, the third paragraph, beginning with, but it was not, ending with, give me over to the undertaker of the asylum. And we're reading a comment on that one paragraph this morning. So I'll be taking some names after Dion if you'd like to comment on that. So go ahead, Dion.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen. Thank you. This is Dion R. from Ohio. Just really moved over the sharing this morning. Being reminded of how far I've come. It can easily go to in a drop of a dime if I lay up or stop working in my spiritual program. I just want to thank my higher power for nothing else right now. And hearing some of the rich voices I've heard on this phone for over 10 years, vision started and before. So just being reminded that some of us are still here. I hear our voices changes, whether it's due to COVID or whatever, but through it all, I love the part of hearing, of being reminded when I was choked. I almost died many times and I didn't realize it, but it was something, a power greater than me to stop me. One was choking on peanut butter at the age 6 or 7. And my mom said, don't eat that, stay out. I took a big scoop and ran off because I didn't want her to know that I did and couldn't breathe. And I was like, oh, this is curtain. I'm about to die as a kid. Bam, she came and knocked it out of my, you know, and I'm crazy. That was, I didn't see it then, but I saw she was the higher power. Stay close to mom, man, because I need her. And then coming in the program so many times, you know, I'm going to get a snip here, a cut here, and I'm just going to get this taken off and this cut off, and I still feel, what they say, declining moral and bodily health fell off like a ski jump. My mind, my brain, everything still got back to, God, I need you. I need you, higher power. And yeah, many times, and had been turned over to that good old asylum. That didn't break me. Only thing broke me was surrendering to this program and saying, you know what, enough is enough. Like someone said, they're long years, but they were grateful 23 years for me of trial and error, because today to have almost 10 is just a gift. And it didn't come through, just want to go in OA and do it. I had to put all my ugliness at the feet of this program and my higher power and say, help me. And with that, I'm not an undertaker. I'm not choking on peanut butter. I am not trying to get a fast nip and snip. And that's through the program in IOU, and especially Overeaters Anonymous, that helped me find the God of my understanding. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Dion R. in Ohio. Okay, if you haven't shared Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share on the seventh, on the third paragraph on page 7, I'm ready for your name.
Hi, Debbie P. from Indiana.
Arlene B. Los Angeles.
Shanna C.
Virginia.
Was that Shannon C.?
Yes, you? From Tennessee.
And who came in after Shannon?
April B. Virginia.
April B.
Did I miss anyone? Jody E.?
No, I didn't get you, Jody. I have you now. I have Debbie, Arlene, Shannon, April, and Jody. Anybody else? If not, let's stop there. Okay, Debbie P., Arlene B., Shannon C., April B., and Jody E. Go ahead, please, Debbie P.
Good morning. This is Debbie P., and I'm calling from Indiana. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. What this paragraph says to me is, you know, how many times I've sworn off and started again just because I had no control over starting again. I guess I'm considered a high bottom compulsive eater, maybe compared to what Bill went through with his alcoholism. But it still doesn't take away the weary and the despair of myself and my loved ones. I mean, I always had remorse. I always had, a new resolve. And I even remember being thinking, wow, I wonder if there's some place I could go to keep me away from this food, like some treatment center or something that would, eliminate what foods are around me so I don't eat them. And obviously, I needed to find the power that would give me the strength to not eat these. I can't do this on my own. I can't not eat the stuff that causes my cravings, and I can't control the thoughts once I do. And it's only thanks to my higher power, everyone on this meeting that shares and lets me know who I am. It reminds me that I'm a compulsive eater, that I have to always be in my consciousness with my higher power. And on the times that I'm not, things happen, and I have to do a 10th step on them. So anyway, I appreciate you letting me share today, and thank you for your service.
And thank you, Debbie P. in Indiana. Arlene B. in California, you're up, followed by Shannon C. Good morning, Arlene.
Hi, this is Arlene from Los Angeles, California. Grateful to be on the line this morning. I think what hearing this paragraph read and hearing everybody share makes me think about the denial of this disease for me. It is just has been so strong all of my life. I've been in program a long time, and I'm somebody who has not had long-term abstinence. I've had it for a while, but I've had a lot of relapse, I guess you could call it. But what amazes me is my denial, you know? I mean, I suppose the alcoholic, you know, as he was talking about, can eventually get to the point of being so sick. But, you know, for me, the willingness to allow my body to expand and get fat and be told probably 40 years ago, gee, if you lose 30 pounds, you know, it'll help your knees, you know, and now we're talking about losing 80 pounds. Do they think, God, I'm abstinent? But denial is, oh, I think I'll have that, or maybe I'll get this. And just forgetting what that particular food led me to. Sometimes on a daily basis, you know, I have that feeling. Other times, I don't. But, of course, the further and further I get away from having my addictive foods, that calls to me less. But, you know, for me, I think that part of this disease for me is the denial. And I think that part of this disease for me is the relapse that, whether it's that I don't deserve it or it's part of the disease for me. I really feel that way. And, you know, just for today, one day at a time, I spoke to my sponsor yesterday. I said, I feel like weighing. And she said, and what do you think that will give you? And that's, you know, one of the places I go to, especially if, you know, I feel like I've been abstinent for a few days. And then I have to go back into, yeah, you know, that's not one of the tools, you know. She reminds me that thinking and weighing are not two of the tools. So I'm just here to thank you for being here, and that brought that up with me, that my denial is just unbelievable. And I need to ask God to help me do God's will and not my will. Thank you for letting me share my past.
Thank you, Arlene B. in California. And Shannon C. from Tennessee, you are up, followed by April B. Go ahead, Shannon.
Good morning. This is Shannon C. from Tennessee, grateful, recovered, compulsive, overeater through God's grace in this program. What I'm reminded of is step two when I see this paragraph, that this is a doctor's, you know, the doctors had pronounced him incurable. This was the finish, you know, a wearing, despairing wife, and how, you know, how his disease had affected, you know, those about him. And he was informed by the doctors that it would all end with heart failure and during delirium tremens, develop a wet brain perhaps within a year. She'd soon have to give him over to the Undertaker Asylum. You know, and these guys aren't basing this on theory, you know. He was at, you know, one of the oldest hospitals treating drug and alcohol addiction, and he had the chief physician of this nationally prominent place that knew what he was talking about with regard to alcoholism, and he saw thousands and thousands of people dying of this, and Bill was no different than anybody else that had died. And so he was giving her the facts. What I see here is a miracle that somehow he lived through this. And because of this miracle, because he was able to live through this program, has been able to be passed down to us, and so many millions of people's lives have been saved. There was no power, no human power could have helped him. He couldn't help himself. His wife couldn't help him. And I'm so grateful that that something saved Bill. a power greater than him did. And I get to live this way. And I know that something similar like that happened with me. I got to that point where I knew I was going to die a compulsive overeater and suffer the rest of my life unless God fixed it, unless God removed it, unless God showed me how to. I didn't even know what to even ask for. I just prayed from every depth of my soul. I don't even know what to say. Something broke in me. And when I did that, it was like everything that I needed to continue on with that spiritual experience was handed to me. And that was, it started with a sponsor that took me through the rest of these steps and showed me how to pass this on. And because of that, I haven't found it necessary to compulsively eat in quite a while. For me, it's been a miracle. So anyway, thanks for letting me share with that. I'll pass, and I'm just grateful to be abstinent today and happy that I'll have.
Thank you, Shannon C. in Tennessee. April B., you are up, followed by Jody E. Go ahead, April.
Hi, this is April B., calling from Richmond, Virginia, gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. And I feel every line, every word of this paragraph. I had several ski jumps, right, because I got in recovery and then relapsed several times. And with every relapse, it was a ski jump, worse than ever before. And I can relate. As I was a low bottom compulsive overeater with over 100 pounds to lose. That's, over 100 to, with some period of abstinence. So it's, really saying something. And the idea of how fatal this disease is very real to me, and it's more real to me now than it was when I started, however many, 20 plus years ago. This latest relapse came with it, age and some real health concerns for me. And shocking. And it really, again, in a ski jump sort of way, just a complete fall off the cliff. And it's not like it's going to happen, it would happen soon, but the inevitability is real. The Undertaker or the Asylum, because if I have to go into relapse again, if I have to get into the food again, I am certain I will lose my mind. I'm aware that I have the middle part of the disease, and that state of powerlessness, that level of powerlessness that happens, helplessness, hopelessness, I just don't think I could take it again. So I, as someone said, I have to say to it every day that I'm powerless over food and that my life is unmanageable and it has to be managed by my higher power. That's all I have. I have nothing of my own to do it. I've tried. Goodness knows I've tried. And I, can see very clearly where it landed. So I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you for leading today.
Thank you, April B. in Virginia. And Jody, before we take you, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 7, the third paragraph, and I'll be taking some names after Jody, if you'd like to share on that paragraph. So go ahead, please, Jody.
Thank you, Kathleen. This is Jody E. Gratefully recovered today in California. So this is a very, very low bottom, obviously, for Bill, terribly low. And some of you have shared how low your bottoms have been. As a compulsive overeater, I would probably be best described as a high bottom compulsive overeater. But it doesn't seem to matter. I need this program just as much as the low bottom compulsive overeater. When I pick up my alcoholic foods, my life becomes unmanageable very quickly, very quickly. And that has progressed over the years in program. Bill was taught about the allergy of the body when he went to the institution where Dr. Silkworth was working. I was taught about my allergy here in this meeting. and by this book, and I do have this allergy. When I ingest certain foods, I crave more. The phenomenon of craving develops, and I do enter into the stages of a spree. I binge. I go into remorse and morbid reflection, and my life becomes unmanageable. So I need to stay abstinent, and just as much as Bill needed to survive. And so do I. I'm just so very grateful, too, that I found this meeting and this book, and that I am willing today to abstain from my alcoholic foods, more than willing. I do not miss them. I do not want them. I recoil from them as from a hot flame, because they do not any longer give me any kind of real nourishment that I need. I need recovery. I need peace and serenity. I need to be a good person and be of use to the world. And that's what I can be today, thanks to abstinence and these 12 steps, which I do work on a daily basis. Thank you, God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. in California. Okay, if you haven't shared Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share on this third paragraph on page 7, I'm ready for your name.
Carol F.
Elise
Bonnie
M.
W. Is that?
From Florida.
Okay, I heard two names. I heard Laura. Did I hear a Bonnie?
Yes.
Elise S.
Carol
Elise
F.
Okay, let's stop there. So, Carol, is it S as in Sam?
F as in Frank.
F as in Frank, okay. Okay, so I have Carol, Laura, Bonnie, and Elise. And so if you want to give the first initial of your last name and the state you're calling from, that would be great. So go ahead, Carol F.
Hi, I'm Carol F. from Oregon. Gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and undereater. And what I wanted to share, I just really appreciate all the shares today. And the phrase, of course, that comes up for me is the gift of desperation, which I had never heard until I came into these rooms and kind of despaired of for many years, even in program, because I didn't feel desperate. I'm kind of a high bottom. Never gained a lot of weight because I was alternately dieting and going into restricting and so on. So I was not identifying with the word desperation, and that really stopped me from progressing in the program. And I just was so grateful when I did find a sponsor and work the steps in the visions manner. And my sponsor said to me, well, can you think of a time when you were desperate? And that really helped me because I realized I had been in denial for most of my life about this disease, but I was desperate. And I remembered many times when I just was standing, having gone to 3 different restaurants in a row because I didn't want to look like I was eating too much. And just standing in the street and crying, you know, and I remember being desperate. So that was really helpful to me. And reading this paragraph reminds me of those moments and just the deepest gratitude for having found my desperation in those incidents and being willing to surrender. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Carol F. in Oregon. And Laura, you are up, followed by Bonnie. Go ahead, Laura. Did I not hear a Laura? Star one to unmute if you're there, Laura. Okay, maybe I was hearing things. So, Bonnie.
Thank
you.
I am. This is Bonnie from Northern Nevada.
Thank
and
you,
your first initial, Bonnie?
Oh, I'm sorry, Bonnie W. from Northern Nevada. And
okay, great. Thanks, Bonnie.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody, for your shares. And they're so powerful. The thing that came to my mind is the line just above the starting of the paragraph, how, you know, it was the whole self-knowledge thing, and how quickly he went from self-knowledge, which is a lot of, in my mind, is a lot of ego-based, right down into the pits of he was in the hands of someone else because he could not control this. It was just like, I guess that's the ski jump thing he was referring to. And so I can relate to that. And how many times I've thought about self-knowledge, you know, I know that this addiction is going to come and going to come and talk to me. And I know that eventually this is happening. And then all of a sudden it has happened. And there I am in the depths of despair again. And this whole thing of the other thing for me, though, is this whole thing of the despair and the morbid reflection. And I have been there so many times. I wonder sometimes if I've felt more comfortable there than I have with the incredible, wonderful feelings, glimpses that I've had during periods of abstinence. Sometimes they've almost made me uncomfortable. And what I realize I need to do with God's help is just take it a day at a time and take it very slow and learn the things that God has out there to learn, you know, that he wants me to learn. So there was something else and now it's left me. But so I think I'll pass for that. But before I do, I just want to thank everybody for their shares. And it's wonderful to be among fellows that have walked the path that I am walking or have walked or am in the course of walking. It brings me great hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie W. in Nevada. And was there a Laura out there that wanted to share? Okay, so let's go with you, Elise. Elise S., go ahead, please. Star one to unmute, Elise.
I'm sorry, I thought I was muted from the beginning. Hi, this is Elise S. from mid-Florida. I guess I am despaired, but it's just not about overeating. I also have, right now, long COVID, which means I can't taste and smell anything. And the despair is, well, I know I'm overweight, but did I ever feel bad about it? I don't know. I don't think so. Beside that, I'm also ADHD, and on top of that, I am OCD. So forget about a lot of things and don't remember things and want to be thinner. My biggest desperation is I'm lonely because I don't invite anybody in my house because it's not a place to invite anybody. And yet I'm way over, probably need to lose at least 100 pounds. And I just never looked at myself. I guess growing up I didn't have such a great view who I was. I was, made fun of. I had eyeglasses when I was 5, and I just always felt not good enough, not as good as everybody else. So when I started getting heavy, it's like, okay, it's just something else. Well, meanwhile, I got more clothes and I know what to do with because I got bigger, and I just need to stick to this program and do it the best I can with the help of God and these meetings and my sponsor and do all the pieces of the program. Not just listen, not just read a little bit, but do every part of it, because when I don't, I'm not going to lose the weight, but it's not about the weight. It's about self-esteem and becoming part of a world of happiness with God leading the way. So I want to thank you for this meeting, and with God's help, I will be on again and letting you know that I'm following the 12 steps and the traditions and the way that one needs to do OA to be committed to what they're up to. Thank you for as much for letting me share, and thank you for of all your services and your shares. Thank you.
Thank you, Elise S. in Florida, and you're in the right place. Okay, we have time for one more share. Page 7, the third paragraph. Would someone like to take that?
Tom L.
Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Good morning, everyone. Love the shares. I like declining moral and physical health. I'm a drunk with food. Been fat since I was a kid, hundreds of pounds overweight several times. And I like being drunk. I can piece together various addictions, and you know, of course, I'm plugged into the internet, and I got my food, and at some points I drank alcohol. I was okay with that. The miracle that happened 11 months ago is that I hit bottom in a way that it's hard to reproduce. I was my declining moral health made me homeless. I was unable to be part of a family, and I was 100 pounds overweight again. But once again, I can be 100 pounds overweight. I've been most of my life. I've been more than that. But anyway, I choose to believe a higher power organized things so that drove me to my knees, and I begged God for help. And of course, Bill had done that. But without a program, it doesn't work. You get drunk again. What happened to me was I was introduced to a group of men who practice sober eating, and I was introduced to this meeting again. I've been to the meeting before, and I've been sober for 11 months, almost 11 months. And of course, now I've lost most of the weight. My family has been reassembled, and I'm staring at step two. Because I know I'm going back without a power greater than myself. I've worked through the steps very quickly in OA, but step two is always there. Do you trust me? Do I trust God? Because without God, I'm going to be back. Anyway, it's very good to be here. It's wonderful that I can enjoy my day without my junk. And anyway, glad to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom L. And thank you, everyone, for your really wonderful shares this morning and doing service by stepping up and sharing on this paragraph. And thank you, Team Wednesday, also. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Christina M., would you please read a vision for you?
Yes. Hi, everyone. I'm Christina M., compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And this is page 164 from the Big Book, from the chapter, A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.